Calvin Harris, hello, sir.
Hello.
How are you doing? Welcome back to the country.
Thank you very much.
Is it nice to be in the country with the number one hit around the world in the UK and stuff?
It's great. I mean, I guess it would be better to be in the UK when you're number one in the UK.
Oh, sorry. we're an outpost of the UK, so...
Look, I love being here. I only make it here once a year, so when I'm here, I try and make the most of it.
You try and have a UK number one hit when
you're
here.
Yes,
so you're everywhere in the paper and stuff. And of course, not only a number one hit, but a number one hit that involves you and Alesso partying with babes as a meteor passes around the earth.
Yeah, why not? Why not?
Whose idea was to do that video?
It was actually Theo's idea, the singer from Hurts.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was his idea. I live with him in London.
Uh-huh.
So we were just kind of brainstorming video ideas. And he said, well, no one's done an end of the world thing for a while. So we did that.
Not in short form. There's movies and stuff.
Yeah, there's movies. Well, I think it's hard to make a good video. So use an idea from a movie from maybe 10 or 15 years ago. Condense it to 3.5 minutes and make it look really good. And you can't fail. You've got a good video.
What were you actually looking at when the meteor passed by?
Oh, it was nothing. That's why Alesso, if you look at it, at the screenshot, Alesso's looking the other way. Me and Theo nailed it. We were looking at whatever spot they said to look at, but he's like looking at someone in the crowd. It's, I don't know what he was doing. They couldn't move his eyes in post, so.
They didn't. You had the big movie idea, but not the big movie budget to CGI those eyes.
That's it. No CGI. We spent it all on the fake meteor.
Have you been playing under control at Stereosonic?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been playing it last track.
Yeah,
good reaction. Really good.
Yeah.
Because it's brand new. Mm-hmm. So you're not sure that many people are going to know it. Because on my day, it's me and David Guetta. So it's, I guess, a more poppy crowd. Like,
okay.
I wasn't sure how it was going to go down or how the general set was going to go down. But everyone is so up for it.
I guess because it is more of an EDM track compared to the more pop stuff that you have written.
Yeah,
previously.
Exactly. I mean, that's Alesso's involvement being like a full-on dance producer, you know, and me more pop. It's a good combination. I like to go over that side more than pop nowadays, actually. Nice.
What bits did you do, and what bits do you even know listening to it? Who did what?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, he did the main body of the track, and then he sent it over, and it was really like me. My input was it was arrangement and like little touches to make it seem like playable by radio, and also I wrote the top line, like I wrote the lyrics and the vocals and stuff.
Nice.
And then Theo changed some of the words that he wasn't so happy with, and that's how it worked. Then we kind of all got in together at the end and recorded Theo's vocal, and it was cool. It was fun.
And just forgot to tell Alesso where to look.
That was
all. That was the only thing. So is it from an upcoming album or something? Is it going to be doing some more stuff?
Not really. No, it's kind of like how I worked, when was it? The start of 2011, when I stopped singing so much and just started producing. I thought it would be a good idea just to release records as I made them.
Yeah.
So I released Bounce when I finished it, but I didn't have a follow-up. And then I made Feel So Close. Then I released that and We Found Love and whatever. And that's how it worked. So that's how it's working again. And it's good because with this kind of music, you need to stay current. So I can't disappear for a year and write an album and then come back and release 10 songs that sound like things that have already been released.
Yeah, and then you can at the end, like you did with 18 Months, put it all together and go, this is everything I've done.
So that was like a compilation album. Yeah. It was like drawing a line under, even though we released a couple of singles that did well, like, I don't know how.
But Sweet Nothing? God.
Oh, well, that came out just before the album.
Okay, yeah.
But the main one was the one with Ellie Goulding that did really well after the album. But for the most part, it was like a compilation, which I kind of like the idea of. And I'll probably try and do that again if I can write enough good songs.
Well, you got one. I'm going to play it right now. Under Control, Calvin Harris and Alesso featuring Hurts on Triple J. Let us know if you have, how are you feeling post-Stereosonic? We want to hear from you how you were doing after two massive weekends. On Triple J, this is Under Control. Under Control. Oh, Triple J, that is Under Control. Calvin Harris and Alesso. Calvin Harris is on Triple J right now. The chosen music of Manchester United player coach Ryan Giggs.
I read this today.
Is that exciting?
Yeah, I'm happy about that. It says it motivates him. That's good. I mean, I don't follow football at all, but it's good to know that I can affect sporting events remotely without paying any attention to them. I'm there. And if something happens, maybe in that sporting event, maybe it's because he listened to one of my songs. I like that.
That's a good way to look at it.
I like that.
Yeah, maybe the same thing with the Ashes. It's probably something to do with members of the UK.
We just don't know.
How can we possibly know?
That's the beautiful thing.
Gosh, you said you live with Theo, with Hertz, in London, but you also, and I know this because I've seen the photos, have a house in the Hollywood Hills.
Yes.
Is that weird, having your house and the inside of your house everywhere on the internet?
Yeah, that wasn't great. That wasn't something that I would encourage people to do. But the thing is that obviously I had no control over that, and they used the photos from when it was on sale, on the internet, right?
That's why you weren't in there showing, this is my crazy long fireplace.
Right. And that was like none of my furniture and stuff. Like, it doesn't look like that anymore. That was the previous owner trying to sell the house. So they just got it off the website. I don't know how they found out that it was me who bought it. But that was kind of weird. And then people, like, you know, my mum would text me and go, why did you buy that sofa? That doesn't look so good. And I was like, Mom, it's not mine.
And so you don't still have that Gilbert and George on the wall, that painting?
I wish I did, because I was worth about $2 million.
Yeah.
But no, he took the artwork.
Did you think back, you know, well, I guess it was 2007 when we started hanging out with you and playing Acceptable in the 80s and stuff, that one day people would be invading your home and taking photos and stuff?
That was never part of my plan. It was the plan was to try and make good music. But then in 2007, I really had no idea what I was doing then, you know. That was all like an accident.
Right.
And only in recent years, it's been like me trying to make really good music, you know, since like 2009. But 2007, 2008.
Are you suggesting merrymaking at my place was an accident, Calvin Harris?
It wasn't meant to be. That stuff was never meant, like, I didn't think it would ever be released.
Yeah.
So if I was going to make it again, I would put a lot more effort in, you know?
Okay.
I'm talking about the old records.
And so how do they sound now when you do them live? Do you change
Oh, no, I don't play them live.
Really?
I don't play anything that I made back then.
Wow.
At all. Because I feel like I'm a different thing now, because before then I came in, I was singing with a band and I was making this kind of music that is not what I'm trying to make now. And it was literally 2010. In fact, I wasn't on tour here when I made this track called Awooga, which is a really obnoxious club track. Like, really, like, almost to, I don't want to put it, I don't want to, it was like to get rid of people that like the old music, because it was so different and like hard club track.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm going to do this because I want to DJ and I want to play this and I want to forget about everything in the past, even though I'm very proud of that it did well and people enjoyed it. I don't want to do that stuff anymore. So that one track, which was like really full on, and it did well like for me in clubs and stuff. Mm. So it did perfect. But that was like to kind of draw a line under what I did before.
Right. And that was sort of when you put that on 18 months, that was like, this is how I am now. These are my club tracks. And stuff.
I mean, the thing is, it started with a wigger and then I got more pop anyway.
Because you can't avoid the melodies. The top lines just come in.
I just kind of like songs. Yeah. You know, I do like songs, but I love playing club tracks, you know?
Yeah. Well, there's plenty of those.
Yeah.
I found this the other day, Calvin Harris, in the studio. This is, of course, ready for the weekend, but sounding a little bit different. The human synthesizer.
Oh, is that what that was?
Yeah.
Crazy. Awful. Awful times.
Really?
Terrible times in my life.
I brought you back to a bad time when you had a bunch of people in reactive body paint that you could play them like machines.
One of the worst ideas. This is
I'm
the sort of things.
Sorry.
These are the sort of things that record labels make you do. And it was 2010 when I stopped listening to record labels. And coincidentally, that's when I became extremely successful.
Wow. I can't imagine what that... Okay.
But you know, it's like when you have an album out, they try and think of really convoluted, weird ways to promote it. And
as opposed to just, here's some songs. Do
well,
you like them? You should
that's
buy them.
What I like to... what I like to do is try and make good music and then have people hear them on the radio or on the internet and then decide whether they like them or not and then decide whether they want to buy it or not.
That's never going to work.
Right, is what they said in 2009. But now that's what I do now. I don't do any stupid publicity stunts, because if the song isn't good enough, then people aren't going to buy it. It's really as simple as that.
Hey, everyone out there in the metallic body paint, can you please leave? He's not going to do it. Hey, but I saw you in a photo from Stereo Sonic in a caravan studio.
Yeah.
As that dude from Perth jumped the gun, and he set up a whole studio.
Yeah.
Boys Noise was in there.
Sebastian Ingrosso from Swedish House Mafia was there.
Annabelle was there as well.
Yes.
From Hot Natured. That's right, Anna from Hot Natured. And they're all hanging out making music together. Were you making some music in there?
I mean, it was one of those pictures where you're just kind of having a look, and then they say, can we do a picture? It was one of them.
Yeah.
And Boys Noise made a drum beat.
But exclusive! No,
they were traveling around all the Stereo Sonics, though, so yeah. I imagine some more stuff has been done.
Yeah, but you haven't made any music while you've been in Australia?
I have on my laptop, yeah. I've been trying to mix something.
Oh.
I hope that Australia, for some reason, I was talking about this the other day. I've premiered a lot of songs in Australia. Like I played I'm Not Alone for the first time in Australia.
Yeah.
And I played Awuga for the first time. I made Awuga in Australia. And then Feel So Close, the first time I played that was in Australia as well.
Hey, look, there is, of course, being that you are, was it five top 10 hits this year?
Plenty
of number ones. Obviously, you are tabloid fodder right now. And I'm only going to ask one tabloid question today, Calvin Harris. And that is going to be, did Liam from One Direction really save you from a flying dwarf at Miley Cyrus's 21st birthday party?
Yeah, he did. He did. He did. He did. We were at this bar in LA that's known for its flying dwarfs, and they deliver alcohol and they fly overhead on a wire. It's crazy. So because I'm very tall.
Yes, you are.
Perhaps I could be hit by a boot or a kneecap of one of these guys. So I was facing the other way, just chatting to him, just saying, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then he looked startled, looked over my head, and he pointed and he said, get out of the way. And I looked round, and as I looked round, I saw this little guy coming towards me, his crotch coming towards me. So I duck, and he effectively saved my life. So I was like, thanks, man.
That is the best thing One Direction have done. No, that's
that's
a beautiful thing to have done.
Yeah.
What a lovely thing.
Great guys.
That's great. That's lovely. All right, that is good. All right, back to the music now. That was it. That was my tabloid thing. Done. Calvin Harris on Triple J. We'll be back in a second. A little bit of Empire of the Sun's DNA remix by Calvin Harris. Have you seen Empire of the Sun at Stereo Sonic?
I have. I saw them in Sydney. It was great.
Good show.
Yeah, yes. Crazy show.
You should borrow the dancers. Like, if you see when they play one of those songs, they all have those fake guitars and they just strum for the whole show.
No, it's amazing. They're great. Yeah. I love them for a long time. Mm. His voice is unbelievable. Like.
Yeah, and it is. I mean, it's obviously bolstered live, but he sings live and he plays that guitar live, and that's some good stuff.
Yeah, he's awesome.
That is great. You did that. You did a Fatboy Slim remix for Sleep, Rave, Repeat.
I did.
Is there anything, like, do you reckon you could probably remix anything?
No way. No. No, the thing is about remixes is I genuinely do only what I want to do, and I think I can make either better or different or like sound good.
All right.
I won't just do anything. That Fatboy Slim remix, he emailed me the track and he said, what do you think of this? And the vocal was so good that I kind of felt like I had to do it. But I did that for free just because I wanted to do it.
And you would have been so young when Fatboy Slim was massive as well.
I was 14 when his biggest album came out, and he was actually one of my full-on like heroes at that time. It was him and Daft Punk. I was obsessed with him, man. I was like looking in the liner notes because he had a picture of his studio, this like panoramic picture of his whole studio. I used to study it to see what equipment he was using and all that. So to have him send that to me unsolicited, see if I fancy a remix, and it do so well. I got him in top 10 in the UK for the first time in 12 years on that remix. Which is, for me, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's like paying it back.
Because back then, he was remixing people and getting them in the top 10 when they never had any hits. Like, you know, that Corner Shop, Brimful of Ash.
He did a Brimful of Ash remix,
He did a bunch of remixes, like Renegade Master, all that. I was just obsessed with that stuff.
I got to admit, it was a bit of a leading question because last Friday here at Triple J, we released a Christmas charity single. We're trying to get it to go to number one. In fact, it's called Christmas Number One. can I play it for you, and can you just tell me if you think it could be. I'm not suggesting you would remix it, but if it could be remixed, you know, because that's what you do. You send things to the top of the chart.
Sure.
This is just from the chorus. We'll tell you now where we all belong. Key change out. Now, you can be brutally honest, Calvin, please, I insist.
I like the chords.
You like the chords?
The little changes.
Yes. Mm. Do you think, you know, like, is that the sort of thing that could be remixed into a...
Well, it's the kind of tempo that's going to suffer when you bring it to 128, you know.
Is 128 the remix tempo?
Well, it's the house tempo, 128, yeah. It would be very, very difficult.
Mm-hmm. who could do it? Who do you know?
Who could do that? Well, I don't know if it needs remixing. It sounds like Christmas already, doesn't it?
Oh, that's beautiful.
It sounded good.
It is almost Christmas.
Great
it
backing vocals, nice wide backing vocals. And
you know
great
how to
chords.
Say the right things.
Yes,
you
do. It is what it is.
You do. Hey, I'm going to play, speaking as it is almost Christmas, means it's almost Hottest 100 time. I'm going to play the song that got into number 11 last year in the Hottest 100, Sweet Nothing, featuring Florence. What would you, if you had to vote in the Hottest 100, Triple J Hottest 100, what would be some songs you think would be up there in the top 10 for this year?
Interesting. This year, I've got strange tastes.
That's fine. That's good.
I mean, I don't even know if these are singles. See, I like the Pusha T album.
Okay.
And I think, I guess the track from that with Rick Ross, there's no way that it was a single. but it was great. Maybe an Eminem would be good.
Oh, yeah.
Something like, I don't know, Rap God or something. That's pretty good.
Yeah, the first song on that was produced by M. Faze, Australian producer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. We've got Numbers on the Boards and King Push by Pusha T.
Numbers on the Boards is awesome.
Is that a good one? Yeah. So that might get you votes. There you go. That's cool. All right. That's some good votes. All right. Well, you never know. The voting opens in like 10 days for the Hottest 100. So I imagine we'll probably be seeing you in that countdown again, maybe.
Oh, I hope so.
Who knows? And we'll give you a little call. Where are you going to be on the 26th of January? Is that Australia Day?
26th January?
25th, 26th. What is it?
I'll probably be in LA. I think I got studio time. I'll probably be there. Okay. Or like, you know, listening to the 100.
Yeah, we'll put in a call. Yeah. Awesome. All right, on Triple J. Thank you for coming in, dude.
Pleasure.
It's the Doctor on Triple J.